The grace and peace of the Father be with you and be with your family this Advent season. As we wait, liturgically speaking, for Christmas to come. And let me tell you that waiting for Christmas takes on a whole new meaning with little kids. It is a wonderful thing, actually. These kids were waiting for some time to come in and sing with us, Joy to the World. My kids at home have been waiting for Christmas and continue to. They have insisted that we make a chain of paper rings that we put on the Christmas tree. One ring for each day between now and Christmas. You know what I'm talking about. Each with a respective number carefully written by Rafe on the paper. And while we have determined that each little boy, Josiah and Rafe, will alternate who gets to take a ring off, it is still, early in the morning, a race to see who can get there first and rip the paper ring off, whether it's their turn or not. So waiting is a challenge. And maybe that's why we have this season of Advent, to wait a little bit for Christmas. But in this Advent season of waiting, I am pleased to be able to, actually to be called to announce to you that Christ has come even today to redeem not just Esther or Mordecai, not only a chosen people who are in trouble at various times in history, but Jesus has come now to redeem you by his holy word and sacraments so that the grace and peace of God the Father is yours. For your sins are taken from you and you are forgiven in Jesus' name. And there is no waiting now left for that. It is accomplished for you. Amen. We join this beloved story of Esther, and we got just a little sample of it in our Old Testament reading. We join the story in our fall sprint through the Old Testament of the narrative lectionary. We've gone pretty quickly. We've missed a lot of stories, but we've picked up a few. Next week, we will hear directly from an Old Testament prophet for the last time in this cycle. After that, we'll move to New Testament readings for our main preaching text. Next week, no doubt, we'll hear from this prophet a promise of the one who is to come. But this week, the whole book of Esther makes no mention of Jesus directly, nor even of God directly. So what is it doing in our Bible, you might ask yourself? What is it doing in our readings this Advent day? Well, while this story does not mention God directly, God is active through it. And let's find out how this actually is. The story of Esther takes place, well, part of God's chosen people in Judah have been taken over by the Babylonians and then the Persians. God had sent his prophets to Israel, to Judah. We've heard them this fall. And God said, "Now trust me, or else I will send your neighbors to take you over." And that's exactly what happened. The people, after warning and warning and warning, did not trust God, and God sent the Babylonians. And the Persians then took over after that. So the story of Esther takes place while the Jews were living in captivity in a foreign land. The story begins with the king of Persia throwing a great banquet. And who doesn't love a story of royalty? We love this stuff. Kings, queens, and princesses. I can tell you that even our little Solveig, though surrounded in her life by cars and Legos and lightsabers, she still loves to put on a princess's dress and twirl into circles and look expectantly up at her papa, waiting for an approving look, which she always gets, of course. She loves these things, to have her nails painted by her sister when she comes home from college. It all seems a little quick to me, but Solveig loves this. And so our story continues in Esther in the same way. On the seventh day of this banquet that the king threw, now how many of you have been to a party lasting 7 days? Well, on the seventh day of this banquet, the king beckons his queen to come and be seen by his guests, perhaps to twirl around in her dress, for she was extremely beautiful. But in what could be seen perhaps as a burgeoning Me Too moment, the queen refused the king and didn't show up. The king, of course, was enraged and confused. What do I do about this? And so he conferred with his experts, and they all agreed this was bad for the king and it was bad for Persia. So the queen lost her crown, and the search was on for a new queen. And in what sounds like a 12-month-long beauty pageant, where all of the most beautiful young women in the country were gathered together and given instructions on how to behave and eat and put on makeup and all sorts of things, I imagine. Perhaps more relevantly to our day, a 12-month-long season of The Bachelor is perhaps what it looked like. For indeed, at the end of 12 months, the king chose his favorite, and his favorite was Esther. Esther was chosen. She was beautiful. She said all of the right things. Little did anyone else know, however, that she was Jewish. This is important, by the way, because when one of the king's advisors, Haman, notices Esther's uncle and guardian, Mordecai, that he will not bow down to the king, for he would only bow down to the Lord, Haman directs the king to kill all of the Jews in the land, and the king agrees. So what started as a princess fairy tale, a rags-to-riches story, has now taken a very serious turn, a story of attempted genocide. And what was Esther to do? More than that, the story seems to ask, without saying it, what is God doing here with his chosen people about to be devastated? What would come of the promised Savior and salvation? Mordecai seems to understand these questions, and he sends a message to Esther, saying, if you do not step into the situation as queen, God will save the people another way. They will be saved. But you won't be, and I won't be. We will be killed. And then in what is perhaps the most famous line of the whole book of Esther, Mordecai says, who knows? Perhaps you have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. Had she been put in that unlikely position of queen of Persia for just such a time, Esther would risk her life, beckoning the queen, the king, for queens were forbidden upon penalty of death of doing just such a thing, of going to the king uninvited. But she did it anyway, and she changed his mind about Haman and his plan. The king eventually got rid of Haman and honored Mordecai, and the Jewish people lived in safety once again. Now that's a quick resolution in the story. And this was good news for the Jews. They would be allowed to return to Jerusalem eventually to rebuild, no doubt at least partially due to the good graces of Esther and Mordecai. But what does this mean for us? What does the story mean for you? Well, Mordecai's question is a good one. Who knows? Perhaps you have been sent here for just such a time as this. On the one hand, God is using you in lots of ways, right where you're placed, in your homes, through your relationships, in your jobs. As God used Esther and Mordecai, so God also uses you to help those around you, to save them, perhaps, to give them what they need. These are your vocations. You may not always know what this looks like in your life. You may sometimes need someone like Mordecai to help you see what must be done. But even when you feel out of place, know that God is putting you in the place to be of service to those around you. But even more now, you have certainly been put in such a place as this to hear that Christ, who came from that very same lineage that was saved from destruction by Esther, this same Christ has come for you today. Today you have been chosen. In a time when we revel in watching others be chosen, don't we? Whether it be in a beauty pageant, though those seem to be a little passé, or in their modern equivalent, as I mentioned, The Bachelor, or other reality shows, Survivor, where you have to outwit and outplay and outlast all the others, or another reality show that we have watched that relies on marksmanship with a rifle or a gun to survive, to be the last one, or even in the book of Esther, we love a story of being chosen. But now, today, Christ comes and chooses you. Christ chooses you to be the salt and light of the world. Perhaps you have been placed here today for just such a time as this, to hear this word, so that Christ could give you a new future. Not one of trusting all sorts of distractions and false hopes, but one solid hope, which is forgiveness and resurrection from the dead and life everlasting. You have been put here now to hear just such a message. And now this promise is yours in Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day.